Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by www.mitmaster.com.
So, back from his holiday far away in a lovely town. Where did you go?
Barbados.
Well, not a town then. Barbados, that's a long way.
That is a long way, yeah.
Back from a faraway land of Barbados, Matthew Chapman. Well done. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. Before everyone thinks, oh, it's all right for you, Chapman, jetting off to Barbados.
It's all right for you, Chapman, jetting off to Barbados.
I need to explain that my dad lives in Barbados, so I go and see him every 2 years. So that's why I go to Barbados.
It's a convenience excuse.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, makes me sound not so bad.
My dad doesn't live in Barbados.
Yeah, so yeah, it was nice holiday, nice and relaxing, lots of swimming in the sea, sitting by the pool and drinking too much rum, so back to it.
That was the first 2 days, and then what did you do?
Yeah, well, that's literally it. I'm not great on holiday. I'm not very good at sitting still and not doing stuff, so I get a bit restless, really. And after about a week, I'm like, right, that was nice, let's go back to work. The missus is like, no, we have another week here to do stuff. So
how many courses did you sell on holiday then? Go on.
Quite a few, actually. Yeah, I did some good emo promotions and covered some of the cost of the holiday. But yeah, it was lovely, good to see my dad, kids had a great time. I relaxed as much as I can relax, which is not a lot, and now I'm back.
Pushed your other half off a swing as well, didn't you?
No, she fell out of a swing chair.
Right, okay.
Honest, Gov. Nothing. Honest, my lord. It was nothing to do with me. she just fell backwards and span herself out.
And but so you took a picture and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, of course. Well, yes, perfect opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, for the regular listeners out there, which I would hope most of you are by now, unless you've randomly stumbled upon this today, in which case you'll probably never listen again after that intro. But you'll have heard me last week making up some excuse about technical issues and things like that as to why Matt wasn't on. And the real reason Mr. Chapman wasn't on was because... Go on.
Because oh yeah, sorry, I'm Go just on. Trying to rack my brain what you're talking about.
No, you know what I was talking about.
I got my times mixed up. I booked in a session to do a live from Barbados with Chris, but I was 4 hours out in terms of my timing. So Chris was ready, but I was still asleep.
Have you been messaging people thinking that it was the other way around this whole time? And people are like, well, because he messaged him
at 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, I don't know what was happening. I blame the rum, basically.
The rum, yes. Blame the rum.
That was the problem.
So anyway, Mr. Chapman, it's all right for you going on holiday when we've all got our schools to run. You see what I did there?
Yeah, yes. But, you know, it is possible to run a successful school and still take holidays. However, I do speak to a lot of people and they're like, they're scared of taking a holiday when they're running their martial arts school because they feel like it's going to affect retention, because they feel like they haven't got enough support to keep the classes running, you know, while they're away, or, you know, reduce the timetable. And they're also such control freaks that they worry that if they leave and go on holiday for 2 weeks, everything's going to fall to bits and it's going to be the end of their business.
Yep. All of the above.
check.
I don't do holidays because I get bored.
Right.
Although it wasn't a holiday, but a couple of years back, I got a good opportunity to work on a TV series. Yep. And the hours were all over the place, but it was really well paid. And I just went, I'm going. I just thought, no, I'm going, and I'm going to close, and I'm going to go. And absolutely no one left.
How long? 2 weeks?
It was on and off. I did lots of different rehearsals, all the different times. So sometimes I was away 2 days, and I was away 1 day, then I was away 3 days. And it was over about a 2 week period in total.
Okay, right.
And I was just, you know, closing, you know, last minute. Really sorry, I'm not going to be, like, one time I was there and I wasn't going to get back, and I was like, message everybody, I'm saying, I'm really sorry, but we're not reopening tomorrow because I'm not going to get back in time. Nobody kicked off, like, nobody.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, why have I been doing this whole time?
I would have kicked off. I'd be like, bloody Chris not turning up. I'm outside the gym, Chris.
Well, I get, but I gave him, I just like, I didn't turn up. Like, I actually said, like, tomorrow we were supposed to reopen, but I am not, we're not going to reopen tomorrow. And there was, I'm sure there was another one where they'd booked me and then they changed the times and I had to be away for a lot longer than originally planned. Everybody was absolutely fine. Like, no, I thought, oh, someone's going to kick off. Someone's going to, nobody. Not one Wicked. Person.
Yeah,
and
I felt
I felt a bit disappointed, actually. I was like, oh, I'm that important to you, am I? No,
I think if it's occasional and, you know, you've got a reason and you're like a holiday, for example, and you give enough people enough warning, then yes, of course, it's totally acceptable. Like, they can't expect you to work 365 and be available to kick and punch them as and when they want. And often with the direct debit payments, you're only charging for 48 weeks out of the 52 anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you should definitely take a holiday. But I think a lot of instructors are a bit worried about leaving it to their team possibly to run the store. They think they're going to come back and that's going to be burnt down and the staff members are going to run off with the money and that's
bloody hell.
I kind of get it, because when I was running a full-time school and I go away on holiday, I'd be checking my emails, checking my messages, like a bit, ooh, I wonder what's going on now. It's that class that can be a bit weird. And ooh, I wonder how the kids went tonight. Wonder if there's any problem. So, it's hard to kind of let it go, isn't it, really, when you're away from it? You still want to micromanage it.
Yeah, the couple of times that I have, I mean, this I'm not saying this is the right way to do it. It's just how I did it. The times I have taken time abroad, go on holiday, and I've left it with other people, I've just said to them, just send me a quick rundown at the end of every night. Just like really brief, like, this class went like this. This person ordered that. This was just like a real quick.
Yeah, you know, this kid broke his leg.
If you think it's important, then just pop it in a message. I actually did actually instruct them, though, if it's anything like that, don't tell me, because I can't do anything from here anyway. So you just deal with it.
That's a good call, actually. Yeah.
If somebody's like, really, I can't do anything about that. So, but if someone's joined us, you know, brief them down.
The issue is, in a lot of schools, the chief instructor, lead instructor, head instructor kind of controls everything that happens in terms of what's taught in lessons, how signing people up, chasing leads up, like they're controlling the entire sort of system. So what they can't go away, because they can't really train someone quick enough to follow up with leads, book trials in, chase up this, order equipment from that place, teach classes as they exactly want. So and they kind of get trapped, like always working and not taking a break. And you know, I'm quite a workaholic, but just having to always do stuff year in, year out can burn you out, obviously.
Absolutely, it can. Or it just depends on how you are as a person, I guess. Most normal people.
Unlike yourself, yes.
Yeah, I'm not normal. I accepted that years ago. I've been 22 years now running it the way I run it, which is enough to send any normal person mad. I think I just already was to start with, so I've never had to worry about it. But no, I get it, though. I mean, I do get times where I just go, do you know, I would rather be doing anything else than this right now.
Yeah.
And that's just being brutally honest. I think a lot of times instructors feel that they're supposed to say that they love it and it's the best thing ever and I love martial arts and it's amazing and lovely. And the reality is we all have days where we go, would rather be doing something else.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Today. And I don't think there's anything wrong with owning that and accepting it. No. So, you know, I every year I look forward to the Christmas holidays, the closer we get to it.
Right.
Oh, 2 weeks, I'm not doing anything. Oh, this is going to be amazing. And then within about 48 hours, I'm bored. Senseless, to the point where my wife is literally, go to work. Just get out the house, go away from everybody, hit stuff.
Come back,
get sweaty, do some emails, whatever you need to do, and then come back.
Right, fair enough.
To get it out of my system.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Some people will, like you say, they'll go on holiday, they'll sit on the sun lounger, they'll They'll do nothing and they'll enjoy it. And that's great.
Yeah. I do. I really do struggle, like you, with that just doing nothing. It feels so weird, like, because the missus is quite happy to sit in the sun for 8 hours a day, reading a book and having a swim now and then. And I'm like, I need to be moving and doing something. It's really weird. Holidays. I like short. I'd rather take shorter, like, weekend breaks, 3 or 4 day breaks. Rather than like a long extended 2 or 3 week sort of longer holiday, personally for me. But I think for martial arts instructors in general, it's a good idea to systematize what you're doing within your business and have some sort of manual, or ideally a digital version of your manual, that just you could hand to someone, like a junior instructor or someone coming up, and say, this is how we do everything in our business. And I'm planning a holiday in 3 months, so get up to speed, work through all of that, show me that you can do everything and that the business is going to be in safe hands, and then start taking a bit of a break.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying, obviously, we're using holiday as an example because obviously you've just had a holiday, but that holiday could be you've just fallen off the curb and broken your ankle. It could be a family bereavement. It could be you've broken down 150 miles away. And classes are in half an hour.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, essentially, as you're not there. You know, whatever the reason for not being there is, you're not there. So the question is, you got Barry the instructor. Barry the instructor's he's got his full-time school.
Yeah.
He's got, I don't know, let's say he's got 45 members. At what point in Barry's full-time instructor or school owner journey does he start planning this whole systems process? Does he want to be doing it immediately from day one, or
straight away?
Right,
because it takes such a long time to set up, create, tweak, like, and make just right so that you can train someone to do it. So I think a lot of instructors feel like, I'm burning out and getting stressed out, I need a holiday, so they kind of do a bit of a half-ass job of then training the staff to take over for that period of time, and inevitably things go wrong when they're away, and then they're like, that's it, I'm never taking another holiday because you lot can't manage it. But really it's the instructor's fault for not fully training them and getting them up to speed and testing it and seeing if they can break it. So I would say, for any aspiring instructors just starting out, start planning now how, the systems in your business, how you do everything in your business, and start writing it down. Now, I'm in the old days, we used to have like operations manuals, which would be these big folders in our martial arts schools, which gathered dust, which no one ever opened. But they would sit there underneath the desk, as the ops manual. I think nowadays, with the advent of AI technology and video, you could just basically film everything that you do in your business. This is how we open up. This is how we clean the mats. This is how we sign a member up. This is how we do missing in action calls. This is how we do a grading. This is how we teach a class. Like, you could make videos of all of this sort of stuff, stick it on a platform, and you're much more likely to get people to engage with it, want to watch it, than just a boring, dry, folder full of pages and pages of written notes. So I think if you start doing that early and you keep it up after, 6 months, 12 months, you've got a pretty good digital ops manual that you could hand to someone who's got a bit of common sense, and they'd be all right at doing most of the stuff in the business.
Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is as well, I would say as an instructor, is trust your gut as well. Trust your instinct. Like, there's a guy who started out in my beginner's course just over a year ago. Mm. He's there all the time. He does one-to-ones. He's super keen. And now he's assisting. Now he's moved up to the next level. He's now assisting in the beginner's classes. He's holding pads and making up numbers if it's an odd number class. Really straightforward stuff, but I've already got him sort of in the system, part of helping out. People are getting used to his face. Like, the beginners, like, oh, this is, so and so, he helps out. They know that.
Yeah.
So that when the time comes for him to maybe do a warm up or just take a few more steps. They're already comfortable with him being in there, and they know why he's there and everything. One of my biggest issues has always been, like you say, control freak. I just don't do delegating very well. But I've been practicing making myself do it. So right. I will say, okay, to one of the, you know, we've got some junior assistants, sort of 15, 16 years old, very capable, but obviously not in a position legally of being able to be left yet. So I've been saying to them, like there was the other day, it was my son was one of them. And one of the other assistants, I said, right, you're teaching this class. I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. But you two, go on, crack on. Off you go. And they looked at each other and went, right, you help each other out. You know what to do. You're fine. It was a group of, say, four beginners that were all well-behaved. I knew they weren't going to mess about. Coincidentally, none of the parents had stayed to watch, so I knew there was no pressure there either. Yeah. So, right, go on, boys. Crack on. Do a class. I'm here. You'll be fine. Because I remember when I first started out teaching, that was when you do your most learning.
Yeah, like, of course.
Courses are fine and instructor training is fine, absolutely, and it is required. And we do that, don't get me wrong, but actually on the job, doing it, when you've got to think on your feet and they're all, the little kiddies are all looking at you.
Yeah.
You've gone blank and you're thinking, what are we going to do? And I'm like, give them star jumps and think about something quick. Giving them thumbs up. Do 10, right, kids, 10 star jumps. Now think about what you want to do while they're doing 10 star jumps. If you can't think of anything, give them 10 more. But do something else, you know. Just keep them active. Don't have them stood looking at you.
The tricks of the trade, eh?
Yeah, and you learn that, don't you, by doing it?
Yes, yeah.
And that's the biggest part is I don't anymore, but I used to think, oh, the parents are paying and they're watching this young kid, or they're watching this, you know, assistant muck it up, and I'm stood here and they can see that I'm standing there and they're thinking, why is he not helping? Why is he not doing anything? But you've kind of got to do that. You've got to sort of step back and not let them make mistakes, but figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can do a lot of training prior to that, and a lot of, you know, in our generation, you probably were like, one day you weren't, you were a student, and the next day you were teaching classes.
That's exactly what I did, and it's horrible.
No pre-training, no build-up, no 6 months of instructor training, how to communicate, how to control the class.
Got to do it.
Chris, you're teaching the class.
My first experience was that literally one of the instructors had to go and do something, and the guy who owned the business just turned to me, and well, he turned to somebody, went, Chris will do it. And I'm stood there, and I'm like, there must be somebody else with that name. Because there ain't no way I'm teaching that class. And he meant me, and it's great when I look back on it. I use it though as a, you know, when I to remind myself about expectation, because I was there every day. I was obsessed. I was there before the instructors.
Yeah.
Outside waiting at the door. For some reason, I got it in my head that they'll be impressed because I'm keen. I'm here before them. And now when I get to work and it's like, oh God, Billy's here before me again. Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right, Billy, how are you doing? You know, I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know how to communicate it or put it into, you know, into a running order. So I give them, you're right. You do need to do the instructor training, but it needs to be balanced out. They need to have that sort of on the job experience and let them make mistakes.
Yeah.
Let them learn from it. You know, we had one of the instructors, the assistants of the day. They were doing like a basic sit and stance drill, and they had him in the sit and stance for way too long. And I'm watching them going, they're not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to be knackered. And they all came to get out of the sit and stance, and none of them could move. And I went, you kept them in that for way too long. You were trying to prove a point. You were trying to show them how good you are, but now you've broken them all and they can't do anything else. What are you going to do with them for the next half an hour? And you can see his face. He was like, it's not about showing how good you are.
No, I mean, this is the thing. You've got, like you say, you've got to let them make mistakes and be there and correct them. But what tends to happen as control freak martial artists is they make a mistake. We go, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes.
And then we jump in and we go, well, I'll take over now. That was awful. And then we never let them back in. So we kind of make them feel bad for not doing as we wanted or what we imagined they were going to do, and also then take back control and never give it back. It's so difficult.
It's finding the balance, isn't it? Because I you know, I'll take them to one side quietly and go, you know, okay, you realize you understand that it didn't work, don't you? And they're like, yeah, right. I want you to just have a think about why it didn't work.
Yeah.
Have a think about why it didn't work, and then crack on with what you're doing, and then just leave them for a little bit, then go back and go, so what do you think? Oh, well, I should have maybe done that. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
maybe,
cool.
Maybe do it like that next time. Give it a try. You know, don't get down on him. Because, look, I've been doing this decades and I still fuck it up occasionally.
Yeah.
But then what you learn as well is you learn to cover up very quickly the mistake.
Yes.
And but you have to make the mistakes often enough to learn how to cover the mistake once you make it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's all part and parcel.
That is part of it. And if you can get someone in your school who you feel confident leaving the school to them, you trust them, obviously they've got good coaching skills, got good teaching skills, they generate rapport with the students, they're respectful, that's part of it. But the other part of it is also like what you're going to do about the marketing, the leads, the sales side of it, because on the mat is one thing, off the mat, you know, all that side of it is another side of it. So I know some instructors who go away, the classes are being covered, but they're still chasing leads and phoning.
Oh, hell no.
From their poolside bed. Or do you kind of leave some instructors? I know also just kind of cancel all marketing while they're away and just, you know, let that die off a little bit and they'll pick it up when they get back. I mean, the ideal situation is to have people within your school who can handle the sales marketing side of it while you're away, and other people who can handle the coaching, teaching, student support side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends on you as an individual and what sort of setup you run. But I mean, this day and age, when it comes to advertising sort of things, you can schedule stuff now. If you're organized enough, you can schedule it before you go, so it just runs for you. With leads these days, again, you can hire people to actually deal with all your dealing with the leads, booking it in. Yeah. You know, if you're not comfortable with them booking it in whilst you're away, just tell them don't book it in until this date.
Yeah.
There doesn't even need to be more in depth than that, really.
No.
I've recently had one of my first experiences with using an external bookings team, and it scared the crap out of me for the first couple of days. But once I got over the fact that, look, I've given them all of this information, they have everything that they need to know to cover off any question that gets asked, let them do their job.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is cool.
This is good, yeah.
It's... The technology is providing so many more options now. And with, especially, I know we keep going back to it every week, but with artificial intelligence developing the way it is, you'll be able to just create like an avatar of yourself when you go on holiday that will just run it for you. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I've seen some recent AI where, you know, you can record your voice, you read a script for 5 minutes, and then the AI can learn all about your business based off the information on your website and stuff that you feed into it. And then it can just answer questions in your voice for you.
Wow.
So they can go back and forth with like voice messaging people about trials and stuff, or about timetable, or about what martial arts styles you offer. So that's going to get easier and easier and easier. And in a year's time, you know, many martial arts schools will have AI working for them as the thing that follows up with leads instantly. You know, whenever the person contacts, it will be following up. Why, either in written form or in voice or video form. So that is coming. So all of that combined, you know, using the power of AI, training your team effectively, setting up systems within your business, means you should be able to take a holiday. And Tim Ferriss, who's a famous internet marketer, superstar, etc., is kind of like, if you can't leave your business to run by itself for at least 4 to 6 weeks, you don't really own a business. You are kind of more in a service role. You have to be there to make it work. So that's kind of like a good test. Could you leave your martial arts school for 4 to 8 weeks and it still be there and still working and still effective and still generating leads and still signing people up and still teaching great classes and growing with you not there?
No.
There you go. Perfect. Nice.
Well, there's no point lying. I mean, I couldn't.
Nope.
I could leave it for a little while, and you know, I could with people covering. But
what's the thing that's missing for you then? Like
everything behind the scenes, the admin side of things. I sort of still deal with everything from you know, advertising to bookings to, yeah, everything right up to the point of intro and sign up. I still do everything. Right. The teaching side, so on the mats would be okay. We'd be fine there. In fact, no, to be fair, some of the admin would be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a bit harsh. Yeah, that's just how I am.
But you could get to the point, I guess, if you could automate some of that admin.
I could definitely
like an admin person in. Like, I'm a big fan of the very first person you should hire as a martial arts instructor running a school is an admin person, not another person on the mat.
I 100% agree with that, because when I first opened my school 22 years ago, whatever it was, I had somebody in that position from day one.
Cool. Yeah.
Just so happened to be my ex-girlfriend. My ex-girlfriend didn't want to do that job anymore, funnily enough. So that it was at that point where that role was never really replaced. I just took it on. I absorbed that extra work.
Easier when she was all doing all that side of it for you?
It was easier in the sense that I wasn't thinking about it and it was being done.
Yeah.
They're using my phone to call of friends and relatives on a near constant basis. Why is the phone never ringing? Oh, that's why. Yeah. Okay. That wasn't so great, but that's just me bitching now. But no, it was good in that I could concentrate completely on the bit that I'm better at.
Yes.
Whereas now I've had to get good at admin, and I don't actually mind doing it.
No, I know you're one of the weird ones. Yeah, no, but I speak to coaching clients every single week, and the thing that kills their passion for the business is admin, parents, and
I don't like parents.
Star students quitting, but admin being the main thing, it just does their head in. So I'm like, just hire someone. Like, admin assistants are so easy to find. Unlike experienced martial arts instructors, like, you can go on Indeed and find someone who's had 15 years of admin experience, you know, and is really organized and methodical, and pay them £13 an hour, you know, two or three hours a day, and just have all your admin handled. Like, it's such a no-brainer for a martial arts instructor.
If you're teaching kids, there's a fairly high chance that you might actually have somebody sitting in your reception area.
Yeah, exactly. Who loves admin. This is what happened at my school. We had a lady whose kids were training with us called Nikki. And I said, I hate admin. I need a bit of help with it. And she worked in a school. So she used to come down like an hour before her kids' class. And just within the first hour, she transformed everything and made it so much more efficient, organized. And I was like, why have I not done
that before? That's the thing is that I struggle with is the what and why part. Like, what was it that she did and why?
So it was like organizing all the materials, getting people ready for gradings and registering details, chasing up missing in action students who've not been in.
Okay.
Texting leads, and also just organizing the desk area, because it was a mess. There were piles of paper left, right and center. Things were getting mixed up. She would put things in alphabetical order. She'd make things easy to find, sign up sheets. She would organize all of that sort of stuff so that they were actually there and ready. Just great attention to detail on the little things. And she just handled it all. So
yeah.
Like ordering belts and things like that for gradings, getting that off of my hand, counting up the old belts to make sure that we had enough of each, ordering stock and making sure stock was in check, contacting suppliers about, you know, bits of equipment that we needed. Just the day-to-day grunt work, you know, of a martial arts instructor. She would just do it quickly, efficiently, and she loved it. That was the main thing.
Yeah, I think my biggest hurdle I've got with this place is, if you imagine, obviously my school's not a big school, but it's big enough that I've made it an extension of me.
Yeah.
Like, all of the rooms, the offices, we've got an office downstairs, I've got a studio office upstairs, which I'm now recording in. I've set everything out and put everything where it is, I know where it all is, and I know exactly what. And then if somebody else came in,
yeah,
I'd be like, no, 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 don't move my stuff. Don't touch that. That's my. No, you know what I mean?
There's levels of this. So you can say to them, look, I've got a system. Here's my system. Don't change the system, but you know, work within it, and they'll be quite happy to do that. But like all the other stuff, the tech stuff, the responding to leads, the chasing people, all of that can be done by an admin assistant. And yeah, I'd recommend you find one and just start with 2 hours a day and just see what difference it makes to your life and the stuff.
There you go. That's my aim. That's my aim for this this year.
yeah.
I'm not committed. I've already committed to doing something else in the previous episode. I've got to be careful. I can't. Jeez.
Overcommit, yeah. Oh, I mean, it might be worth just finding someone. And the great thing about an admin assistant, is, especially if there's someone known to you within the school, is you can trial them out for like 4 to 6 weeks or 2 months and say, let's give it a go. Let's see, you know, this is what I need help with. Do you have suggestions? This is how I'd like you to do that. Start with tasks that frustrate you, that are kind of very manual, like the whole counting up of belts. You know, we had a 400 member school, so we had easily 500, 600 belts stored, and then just, you know, counting up the kids' belts. Kind of like I used to spend hours wasted just counting up and tallying the belts. Like that's something someone else can do, and they just like it, and they create a nice little list for you, and then they can order. So there's things that you are doing which you can get someone else to do who actually enjoys it, freeing up your time to concentrate on more important things in the business, or to have a rest, or to do your own training. You know, it's definitely a good idea, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, just having somebody in and around the reception area when the parents are about, for asking any questions, for ordering any t-shirts.
You
know, I'm probably missing out on so many sales and other bits.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah, because you're busy either teaching or ferrying kids between classes, and there's not the opportunity to speak to people and talk about the seminar, your work, you're organizing, or whether their kid's ready for the grading, or if they need a new sparring kit. And yeah, all of that stuff can be handled by.
Well, there we go. That's what I need to get sorted.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a hand. We're going to work it out by the end of the year.
I need to have a holiday, and I need to get an admin person.
Yes. Well, if you get an admin person first and they're really good, then the holiday bit's easier because you've got the Mac cover. You then have the admin cover. So you've kind of got both sides of it well covered. And then you can take a 2 month holiday and get bored.
2 month holiday. Oh, wow. 2 days at a push.
Yeah, fair enough.
Maybe. So, in your absence, there's been a few things going on. We've got some announcements. So, well, we're both going to be at the Southwest Martial Arts Show in September, aren't we?
Yeah, that last time was really good. It was really good.
Somebody decided to let us in the same building at the same time.
I know. Yeah. And you're emceeing, are you?
I am. I'm going to be on the stage doing a bit of beatboxing, a bit of boots and cats. So I'm going to be doing all the different interviews. Do you know what? I don't actually know what I'm doing yet. I'm joking aside. All the interviews, bing, bing, bing. Would Trevor on mat 3 please put his feet pads in his bag? Bing, bing, bing. See, or stuff so like that.
You're so good at that already. Yeah. Okay, cool.
But no, I'm, you know, the plan is to, I'm hoping to anyway, to interview as many different people as possible. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, potentially get some group interviews going. Maybe we could get on stage together and maybe do a little
talk bollocks
impromptu. We could do Talk Shite Saturday. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we'd be allowed to say that, would we? The kids there. But joking aside, you know, I'm sure we could work it in somewhere. Now, one of the ideas that I had that had floated on the Facebook group is that we did record an episode, not necessarily yourself if you're busy, but we record an episode over the weekend, not necessarily at the show because it's going to be a bit noisy, but maybe in the hotel lobby or, you know, somewhere if there's enough people around still, if anybody wants to come and chill and we could grab a few drinks. We could have a slightly tipsy podcast.
Yeah, cool.
and sort of, you know, and actually do a group podcast, get people in, and people can ask questions. And I just thought that'd be so cool. It'd be nice to do it in person rather than on Skype.
No, I think that's a great idea. I'm up for that. So let's do it.
Yeah, sweet. All right, so there we go. We've committed to it, guys. But there's all sorts of other cool people going to be there as well. I'm trying to rope some other people in as well. I've been pulling some strings and trying to talk some other people into going as well. Because like you said, it's a great event. I was there at the first one, as were you. Obviously, it was a small one. It was, you know, as all first events are. It was very well organized, but obviously they weren't so happy with how certain things went, but they put things in place to fix it, as we all do. You know, we learn from things. But the cool thing is it's run by great people, you know, passionate martial artists. And
I really enjoyed it. Like the venue was great. It was really well lit, really open, nice space, felt really good when you walked in. And the different areas were good. And I had a nice crowd for my MIT Master seminar, and I got to catch up with a load of cool instructors. Yeah, it's great. I think the UK could do with more of these types of events. You know, there's a few around, but the more the merrier.
Absolutely. All in different areas, all at different times. So they're not, you know, treading on each other's toes, so to speak. So as I said on previous episodes, you know, if you can't get, for whatever reason, it's maybe too far, maybe you're busy, but share the posts anyway. Share the posters, because my logo, well, I should say our logo's on there. Got a little logo on the poster. The first.
Nice.
I don't think there's any other podcasts, martial arts podcasts, that have been on the poster for another martial arts event that were quite like that. So I'll admit it, I got a bit giddy. I was a bit like, yeah, look at my little logos on there. But it's going to be on all the posters and all the flyers and it's going to be on everything. My little podcast. It's finally got there. And of course, I'll be there as well. You'll be there. It's going to be amazing.
Are you going to do a workshop, or are you just doing the MC?
I haven't committed to that yet. So basically what I've said, and I've said this already, you know, I'm going to be there one way or the other. And if I feel so inclined to do an impromptu workshop, I might jump on the mats and do something.
Sure.
But I don't want to commit to it, because I don't want to let people down.
Fair is.
You're pretty much sure that I will find it near impossible to be there.
Not to kick something.
Not do something.
Well, come and do the pad work with me, dude. Come and have a train with me.
Oh, there you go. I'll come and be a nuisance in your workshop.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind.
Very cool. Look forward to it. Anyway, it's been good catching up. And we'll do this again next week.
We'll do, matey. Speak soon. Nice one.
Catch you soon. Bye.
Cheers.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use. Super powerful management software for your martial arts school.